Hello, Cincinnati! Welcome to episode 5 of our podcast. This episode's actually going to be a two-parter with both parts airing this week. We have special guest Andrew Abbott on to talk about fantasy football. In part 1, we picked 5 QBs and we talk about, given their offensive ecosystems, what impact they might have on their NFL teams and on a fantasy team. Then we get into Bijan Robinson. What's his draftability like now that Arthur Smith's out of town? What about him versus Jahmyr Gibbs? And then we go right into our top 10 fantasy players that we each like heading into the season, even though it's the beginning of June, baby. We got tight end draft strategy after that, and then part 2 coming later this week. So how about that, Redlegs fans? What do you say we get this thing started? I just sold out to the perfect condition. Coming alive. Whoa! All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have guest Andrew Abbott on today, who so happens to be the winner of the first annual turkey hunting competition, but he was using cheat codes because they just drove up and down the road looking for turkeys. But outside of baseball and hunting, Andrew so happens to like fantasy football like most of us. So that's what we're here to talk about today.
Indeed, and I understand based on our podcast to start this season, Andrew, that you are playing at an elite level of fantasy football, and I just want to know what your journey was to get to that point.
It took a lot of losing in order to understand at first, but we got there, the grind, as you'd call it. Just a lot of information processing, a lot of drafting differently, a lot of different mentalities and whatnot about how to go into it, what to do. And finally, I figured out somewhat of the right way to do it, at least for myself and the league that I was in. And the last 2 or 3 years, I've had a lot of success. So
that's a great segue when you talk about just learning and the mentality of things. Before we get started, I'd be interested to know whether you, like myself, had any biases. For instance, after last season, I will never take a draft pick in the first 4 to 6 rounds on an Arthur Smith team.
Yeah, I would normally agree with you. I took Bijan last year, so I don't think I don't fit that mold. At least I think a bias that I have is I hate when I see guys draft QBs early, within the first 3 rounds, because they're scared somebody's going to take him. That completely ruins a team, I think, in my opinion. My sister did it a bunch of times in our family league, and it kind of got me rolling over. I was like, I don't want you to do this. But I think that's the only bias, is people taking QBs too early. They are a 5 to 6 to 7 round. Like, you got to get at least 5 good players on your team before you take them.
Well, so in that regard, let's preface this with the league that my dad and I are in. It's a little bit different. So it's a franchise league. So every year you get to keep 2 players from last year's roster, but our scoring is also a lot different. It's a lot harder to get points. Like, a high score in our league is like 50, 60 points. Mm-hmm. What's it like for most of the leagues you're in?
I do PPR most of the time. So, you know, I've seen scores that range from, I'd say average is probably like 120, 130-ish. And then the highest I've gotten personally was like 198 last year. And that was like Tyreek Hill, 4 TD bombs, CeeDee Lamb, 3 TDs, you know, a bunch of just crazy performances all put together.
Well, the interesting thing for me is I subscribe to your theory on quarterbacks.
Yes, he does.
However, when you get inexperienced people in the league, what happens is they'll draft 2 starting cornerbacks, and there goes my quarterback who, let's say if there are 12 teams, would have been the 12th quarterback.
Yeah. I have run into that before. Luckily most of the team or most of the leagues that I play in, we kind of all have an understanding, like, don't pick a QB until at least round 4. And it kind of just makes it easier. Everybody kind of goes and fights over the draft picks. And we do snake draft in what I do. So you know, if you have pick five, you got pick 17 on the return. So like, you really have to hammer down your picks. Like, I have to be locked in. I got to do this and that. So,
well, I have an interesting story on that with his theory on quarterbacks. So it was a couple of years ago, one guy waited. Everyone else had their two quarterbacks or had their first string quarterback. He waited and waited and waited. And then my cousin saw Jalen Hurts, and this was the year Jalen Hurts broke out. Obviously, we didn't know Jalen Hurts was going to be that good yet. So my cousin drafted Jalen Hurts as his backup. And then the guy's like, what am I going to do? That was the quarterback I was going to take. Fast forward a few weeks, Taysom Hill was listed as a tight end, but he had one game where he blew up as like a quarterback. And he was my back. I went and picked him up off the waiver wire. I called my cousin. I was like, hey, man, you need a tight end? He's like, yeah. Well, I was like, what about Taysom Hill? They put him in at QB, and it still counts as points for the tight end. He goes, well, who do you want? He's like, you want one of my quarterbacks? I got Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts. Pick one. I said, all right, I'll take Jalen Hurts. So I swapped Taysom Hill. I fleeced him for Jalen Hurts. So I had Jalen Hurts that year. Then the next year, I had enough guys – the franchise that I traded Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley for Josh Allen. So I turned Taysom Hill into Josh Allen, and Josh Allen in a keeper league when he's the number one quarterback. I mean, he was head over heels points wise last year in our league. I was like, yep, I'm keeping him.
Yep. If you want points, you get Josh Allen. That's what you gotta know that going in.
All right. So let's get this started. I think the first question we had for you, Andrew, is you think about offensive ecosystems. Think about quarterbacks like Cousins, who switched to Atlanta, a healthy Aaron Rodgers, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, and then a healthy, possibly, Richardson. What impact do you think each one of those might have on the offensive ecosystem in which they reside?
You know, looking at it, it's kind of a rough decision. Obviously, the rookies I don't really want to put too much attention on. Like, they're already under a lot of pressure to play well, being number one draft pick, number two with Daniels, number three with JJ. So like, when I was thinking about it, I kind of went in more of like terms of what does the team already have compared to what do they bring to the table? Like J.J. McCarthy, for example, like on the QB depth list for fantasy, he's number 24 on the list. Surrounding him, he's got a great running back now that they picked up Aaron Jones from the Packers. They have a great trio of either receivers or tight ends with Hockenson and Jefferson leading the way for them. The impact, though, I think they're going to be right around like 8-8. 7-9, kind of flirting the even line. Same thing with Caleb Williams. I mean, I know they drafted him. I know they drafted Odunze as well. They had a really good first three picks in the draft this year. But, you know, I haven't seen as much from Williams as others have. I'm a harsh critic on QBs. You know, he's a pass first. He can run when he needs to, but he's not really a dual threat guy. So it's going to rely on the receivers getting open. And I just know when the Bears match up in a division, at least with like the Packers per se, and Odunze or Keenan Allen or whoever it is matched up with Jair Alexander or, you know, these other teams like Rasul Douglas on another team or these, you know, these guys that have been in the league for a while, you gotta rely on the route runners. So for me, I had Rodgers as the most reliable just because the QB play, the track record, you know, Garrett Wilson is a legit number one. Cousins, I have a close second as being best impact. He's Mr. Reliable. He had games last year. He's passing 400 yards. He's getting plenty of attempts, right? He's going to get you points, and he's going to make everybody around him better, I think. So I had Rodgers and then Cousins and then J.J., McCarthy, and then Williams in the top four. Richardson, I like him. He's a really good QB. If I had a pick, I would draft him, honestly, in the draft in rounds 4 through 6, like I said earlier. But I just – the Colts, it's hard to say. Pittman is the legit wide receiver one. So I have him at number 5.
Will he stay healthy?
That's another question, yeah. You know, hopefully Rodgers doesn't play 2 snaps and then he's gone for the year because that's going to look really stupid. But
I'd say – what specific impact they provide per team, I'd go with Cousins turns Atlanta into a winner. Rodgers does the same for the Jets. He finally gets them into the playoffs. They actually win a couple games. They don't have a butt fumble. Caleb Williams, it's hard to say because of the talent around him. Like, is impact going to be because of him, or is it because they went out and got a doozy and Keenan Allen? J.J. McCarthy, I'm going to agree with what you said. He's got the weapons. They got the running back and Aaron Jones. They've got the right coach. And then Richardson, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole because he's an injury risk, and he likes to run, which creates more injuries. And the biggest part of it in fantasy football is being available to play.
That's right.
So if you think about the Atlanta offense with the absence of Arthur Smith, what do you think that does as far as Bijan Robinson's draftability?
I mean, the guy's got a lot of talent. I mean, even with everything that went on last year, in my opinion, he was a top 10 running back. I mean, he's explosive. When he got his touches, he was able to do something with them. And he's also a receiving back as well. So being able to kind of put those two together would equal a lot of points in my system, which is a PPR system. Head-to-head's a little bit different and all that. But, you know, I have him this year starting out as RB4 behind McCaffrey, Breece Hall, and then Jahmyr Gibbs for the Lions.
Question for you. Why Gibbs above Robinson?
Man, dude, watching Gibbs at the end, you know, in the playoffs, when the Lions finally let him loose, they finally gave him, you know, 20 touches. And I know he's got Montgomery there as well, but I think the Lions already know that Gibbs is their guy. So this year, I think Montgomery's going to take a step back and Gibbs is going to get those touches and get the checkdowns that I'm saying to produce massively. Because when he was in the playoffs, he was RB2. He was only behind Christian McCaffrey.
All right, speaking of Bijan Robinson, what was it with their hard-on for Algiers last year?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
Arthur Smith and emphasizing the ground game. He did have a known commodity in Algiers who, while I wouldn't call him a top-tier back, was above average the year before. And quite frankly, let's be fair to Arthur Smith. He didn't have let's just say, average quarterback during his tenure as head coach in Atlanta. So, you know, he had to focus somewhat on the ground game. And while I don't agree with his decision and the way he used Robinson last year, I think those are the factors that played into it.
Yeah. QB play was absent for Atlanta, pretty much. If they did win a game, it was literally because of Algiers. Their kicker was making 5 field goals a game. You know, outside of those reasons, I agree. I mean, what Arthur Smith did to Bijan, I think if they allowed him the freedom, he would have been so much better than what he already was. And hopefully this year that turns heel and he can actually, you know, take off and produce.
So this is where your buddies are going to listen to this and then steal them out from under you right before your picks up.
Probably right.
My normal answer as far as what should happen to Smith as a result of what he did to Bijan was that he should be incarcerated.
All right. So I want you to both answer this while I'm thinking about my answer to the next question. Who are your top 10 overall and why?
Oh, man. I think number one, clear cut, McCaffrey. Dude can just flat out ball. He averages 21 touches a game. He's got a good O-line. He's 10th in yards after contact. He's 128 yards per game total collectively. So, once again, in a PPR league, that's 12.8 points right there. Plus any catch he gets, plus anything else. So he's putting up massive numbers. My number two, I had CeeDee Lamb from Dallas. Why? He had 135 receptions last year, clear cut number one down there in Dallas for Dak Prescott. He averaged 19.5 to 20 points a game last year as a receiver. Number three, Tyreek Hill. Explosive arm, QB with Tua. He's going to get the deep threat ball. He's a route runner. He's fast. He can catch it. You know, the only thing that I think weighs him down a little bit is how good is Waddle going to be this year. But outside of that, I mean, he's got the track record of years and years and years of good QBs that he's produced so highly. This one might surprise people, but my number four, I got Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Sun God. 30% target share last year, 34% yards in the air share. He's experienced. He just got a fat contract. The Lions are playing, at least last year in the playoffs, they're playing the best ball, and he was leading the charge right there.
The other factor I think comes into play is, if I am not mistaken, he has 14 games indoor next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that also is going to be nice for him. I had Justin Jefferson at five. We all know that he could be definitely higher than five if he's healthy the whole year. Why I put him at five this year, the injury bug kind of hit him last year. But obviously great, good hands at wide receiver. Catches a lot of things that you don't think is possible. Great route runner. He's got a lot of target shares. He's missing Kirk Cousins this year, so that's another reason why he's number five. Ja'Marr Chase at six. Red zone threat. One of the best hands at wide receiver, I think, that the draft's ever seen. You know, just with the ability to one-hand balls, catch things, you know, shoestring catches, deep threat. You have a certified QB in Joe Burrow. You know, he's got weapons around him, so he might be limited, you know, with the receptions he's going to get, but I think he's going to get enough to where he's going to produce a lot for that team, and I think that's important to focus on. I took a risk, and I put Jonathan Taylor at number seven. He's 13th in yards after contact. I know he got injured last year. I personally think we all know he's a lot better. We all know the production's there. You know, he's got a young QB. He's going to have to lead. He's going to get targets. He's a good catcher. I think that he is going to be better when he's healthy this year. And then I have Breece Hall at eight. I'm going to go down a little running back skew right here, seven through nine. Breece Hall averaged 20 or more touches in each game. A lot of check downs from Zach Wilson. He'll get some check downs and screen plays from Aaron Rodgers. So knowing that the QB is consistent is going to help him out. And then I have Bijan at nine for all the reasons we already talked about. And then I have Puka Nacua at 10. Target share was up last year, even with Cup being healthy. So I think he's going to probably produce at the same level, maybe a little less, but he's definitely worth the number 10 spot on my list.
And I think it's fair to say that after the first one or two, I mean, there's separation between most of them. I think if I were to rank them in response to the question, I would certainly be on Christian McCaffrey first. But for second for me would be CeeDee Lamb. He's about the only option that Dak Prescott has currently. Number three would be Tyreek Hill. My concern with him is his availability and health. He gets dinged up some. His quarterback gets dinged up some. You put the two together, and you're just rolling the dice with availability. Number four for me, I am biased here to in a positive way, but Breece Hall had a season last year, and if you throw in Aaron Rodgers, who can check down to him and throw even more passes to him when he's not hitting Garrett Wilson, that certainly improves the draft stock of Breece Hall. Number five, Ja'Marr Chase. The reason I go with Chase is I think this is a prove-it season for the Bengals, whereas Jefferson, who I would have next at number six, he has a rookie quarterback. Certainly Jefferson has a high enough ceiling he could outperform Chase, but I'm just not willing to take that risk if you're going to ask me what you're splitting hairs. Number seven for me is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think with all the things you said, Andrew, combined with the fact that 14 games indoors is a lot, and it's clear that his quarterback performs much better indoors than out. And they have the good fortune of having the offensive coordinator back, who could have very easily been a head coach going into this season had he chosen to go that route. After Amon, I have Bijan Robinson. Certainly, I think he's got a big year in front of him for all the reasons we've discussed up till now. And then after him, Jonathan Taylor. I do like Jonathan Taylor a lot. I think he is going to have a great season. The only thing that concerns me is how much Richardson holds on to the ball versus Taylor running it. And then I would follow that up with Puka Nacua, who just had an amazing season last year as a rookie. I think he crushed the rookie records, and there's no reason in that offense with that head coach, that scheme, that he can't continue on that journey.
All right, well, I guess it's my turn. Well, it seems like all of our top three are about the same, so I'll cut to the chase. McCaffrey, Lamb, Hill, top three. Then I'm going St. Brown. PPR league, we do the same thing as you. That's a big deal with someone like St. Brown. Then I'm going to go with Chase for the reasons my dad mentioned, and he's ahead of Jefferson, who's the next on the list at what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jefferson's 6. Chase is ahead of Jefferson because Jefferson's got a rookie QB. We don't know what's going to happen. Then I'm going to throw a curveball in there. I like looking at it in tiers. If you can get the top quarterback, one of the top three running backs, or one of the top five or six wide receivers, that's kind of my criteria for the top 10. So at 7 would be Josh Allen, just because he is the top quarterback. And it's a passing league. So if you look at the number of points a position scores, ultimately we're trying to get the most points each week. So I'm going to take Allen over some of the running backs simply because he's going to get a lot more points. Then number 8, Bijan Robinson. I think he's going to explode this year. Now that they've got a new system in place and they got Kirk Cousins there. Then we'll go with Breece Hall. Same reasons you guys mentioned. He was already a stud. Now he's got Rodgers for checkdown passes, and you saw how much Rodgers liked passing to Aaron Jones. And then the last one's going to be a little bit of a surprise. I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson, because if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, he has shown a great propensity to favor a single receiver. And if they have the talent like a Davante Adams, he's just going to feed them the football, and they are going to put up massive numbers.
Is this not year 3 for Garrett Wilson?
It is, but he's been stuck with Zach Wilson for the first 2 years.
I don't disagree. My point would be that so about two or three years ago, year 3 was typically when a wide receiver would break out. Given the limitations he's had the previous 2 years, I don't think I'd be surprised if he were in the top 10.
I don't know if I want to call Zach Wilson Zach Wilson or call him Ken from Barbie, because he looks like Ken from Barbie.
So, Andrew, I would ask you, if we pull ourselves out of the weeds momentarily, you talk about draft strategies. You did discuss your position on quarterbacks, but what about tight ends?
Tight ends, there's only, at least last year, there was only one, maybe two, that I would have said would have been okay to take maybe early. And that was Kelce and Laporta last year, at least. And the reason being that I say that is because, one, the league that I'm in, PPR, huge points. Kelce's going to get his targets. Kelce's going to get his touchdowns. We all know that. Laporta, I think, coming out of college, he's the best tight end last year, at least. This year, I think he's going to have an even better season. But I think I think it all determines on where you are in the draft. I think, you know, if you have those middle picks, so let's say you have a full 12-man league, you have those middle picks between 7 and 10, you can go with like an RB3 probably by that point, or you can go a wide receiver 3 by that point, maybe 4. And then when you have that quick turnaround, that's when you have to do, like as Clayton was saying, what's going to get me the most points? And I think sometimes that might be a tight end. But if you can wait, if that's how the league's going, if that's how the draft's going, then I would wait, you know, right before probably round 3 would be where I'd pick them.
All right, here's a question for you. Kirk Cousins, he liked TJ Hawkinson. You think Kyle Pitts might fit into that conversation this year? He's a freak athlete at tight end. He just hasn't had a good quarterback since he's been there.
It's easy for me to draft Kyle Pitts, knowing how athletic he is, knowing what he can do. Part of me thinks I'm not going to do it just because of Kirk Cousins liking TJ. The preseason is going to be the perfect time to tell what that relationship is going to look like. Based off, are we going to, you know, because we got Bijan as well in that offense, you got Kyle Pitts in that offense, you know, what is Kirk Cousins going to prioritize running that offense? Is he going to prioritize, you know, the TJ Hockenson little fade route to the outside, the out route that TJ used to run all the time? Or is he going to prioritize the 5 yard check down to Bijan, get it to him quick, let him run? Like, what's going to come up first and what's going to happen more? So I think watching at least two of those preseason games, I can give you a better tell on what it's going to look like.
Well, we're talking about tight ends. And you talk about the fact that Laporta was the best tight end coming out of the draft in the previous year. If I'm not mistaken, the pundits say that Bowers is the best tight end, the kid from Georgia, this past year. However, he went to what I would call a dead zone for offense in the Raiders. How do you feel about his draft stock?
I mean, as you said, he was legit in college. When he was healthy, he was legit. He's a QB for the Raiders now. Anyway, it's not Garoppolo.
It might be Minshew, or it might be the kid that finished the season last year.
Oh, okay. What's his name? I looked it up this morning. I can't even remember. He didn't do bad, but he didn't do great.
That's the only thing I'm weary of. Brock Bowers, talent-wise, he's a top five tight end, no doubt. That Raiders team just scares me. It's Max Crosby on the defense. Like, their defense has normally been okay. Like, that's probably the only thing I would ever play for them, unless it's Davante Adams, just because he's going to get a lot of targets. But ever since Carr left, you haven't really seen the production from – anybody really on that team,
and they were so quick to run him out of town.
The interesting thing is they have a average to above average tight end already. And that is from the same high school as Luke Manley, in fact.
Oh. I don't like the Raiders. I've been saying this all along. Until then, the Houston Texans are perfect fit for this. Until you draft a franchise QB and actually stick with him, nothing is going to change. And I thought Derek Carr played really, really well there. It's like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. They would have won so many more titles if Green Bay would have drafted around Rodgers and gave him more than just Davante Adams, who was a second-round pick at right receiver. They didn't give him a wire. They didn't give him a first round pick wide receiver in the 15 years that he started.
But you got to admit, the couple of second rounders like Adams and Nelson that they did get him, they were studs.
Well, yeah, and that begs the question of what would have happened the first round. Could you have ended up with somebody else, you know, or like could you have ended up with, you know, if you had Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and Randall Cobb when they were winning all those games back in the day? Imagine if you had Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, and, you know, anybody else that was in that draft class that was a first-round pick, you know, if any of them would have turned out, I think the Packers would have gone on and win more games. But obviously I'm biased because I'm a Packer fan. But
all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for today. Thank you for tuning into part one. Part two is coming later this week, and we will have Andrew Abbott back with us again. We're going to talk about round one rookie wide receivers drafted this year and the impact they'll have in fantasy land. We're going to talk about a couple rookie quarterbacks as well. We're going to do some sleepers. We're going to do some busts, and we're going to pick a couple of franchise players from an all-star roster. Should you have a roster like this in a franchise league, it is a very interesting one. I will say that. So tune in later this week for part two. Whatever, whatever. See you soon.